Blog Talk Radio.
Have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your teacher and host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is the ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church.
As I bear my love.
Good morning, good morning, and really good afternoon. At this point, it's 12 noon, so good afternoon to all of my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. So glad you tuned in today to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast, where we want to encourage you to believe God in prayer for great things. To believe God in what? In prayer. Not just to believe God, but to talk to God and to turn to God in prayer for what you need from the Lord. We have been calling this series that we're presently doing here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast, we have been calling this series the Exceedingly Abundantly series. Let me read to you out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20 reads in the following manner. It reads, "Now unto him," Paul, there writing to the Ephesians, is referring to God. "Now unto him, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Saints, unto him is referring to God our Father. Now, what is it that God our Father does? He does exceeding abundantly. Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or even think or imagine. Think about that, saints. We haven't even thought out thoroughly. We can't even think of the incredible, impossible, miraculous things God can do when we turn to him. And no one in their mind can think up the kind of mind-blowing things God does for his people by means of prayer. No one. He blows our mind each and every time. Each and every time, he's just the mind blower. You know, Samson's parents, if you read Judges 13, the angel of the Lord came to visit Samson's parents, and the Bible says that Samson's parents were barren. His mother was barren and bare not. Here is this couple, Samson's parents. They can't have a child. And the angel of the Lord appears to them in Judges 13 and tells them they're going to have this son. And so they said to the angel of the Lord, "We want to do something special for you when this prophecy comes to pass. You're telling us we're going to have a son and that he's going to be a Nazarite, and that he's going to be something special in the work of God, in the scheme of God's things. He's going to be something special." So they said to the angel, to the messenger of the Lord, "Tell us what your name is so that when this comes to pass, we may honor you." And he says, "My name is Wonderful." Well, the Hebrew term for wonderful is, "I'm the mind blower." If you were to put it in today's vernacular, "I am the mind blower." They asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "The mind blower." Because God, the God that we pray to, the God that we seek, he can do, as it says here in Ephesians 3:20. You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, in the Hebrew Bible, God comes across as he who is wonderful. Well, he was blowing people's minds in the Old Testament, and no doubt he can blow our mind in the New Testament. That's what Paul says here in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do what? To blow your mind. How? How can he blow your mind? By doing exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine. That's God. That's the God that we serve. And notice, above all that, Paul says, all that we can ask. Ask where? In prayer. In prayer. Now, let me just give you a few examples. Now, when you go to Genesis, go with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, verse 20. It says, Genesis 25, 20. It says, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took to wife Rebekah, to wife, the daughter of Bethuel. Bethuel being the Syrian of Padamaram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because his wife was barren. And the Lord allowed himself to be entreated of him, and Rebekah, Isaac's wife, conceived. Now, Isaac went to the Lord in prayer. And he said, Lord, 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 my wife is barren. My wife is barren, and I need you to do for my wife what you did for my mother. My mother Sarah was barren. You prayed for her, and I'm a result of that prayer. Now, Lord, I need you to do for my wife what you did for my mama. My wife is barren. She needs your divine assistance. And the Bible says, and God allowed himself to be entreated by Isaac. And God hearkened to his voice. And what did God do? Well, God paid his wife a visit, and she what? She conceived. Now, what was he asking for? He was asking for a child. But notice, what did God do? God gave him two. God gave him twins. You see, God always does what? Exceeding abundantly. And one of the two sons God gave him would follow in his footsteps. And this is the son whom God says, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. So notice, the three founding patriarchs of the Hebrew people came as a result of prayer. Isaac, patriarch number two, came as a result of prayer. And Jacob, patriarch number three, came to the people as a result of prayer. So that's Genesis chapter 25, verse 20 and 21. But if you go with me to Genesis, chapter 30, Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. And God remembered Rachel. Remember Rachel? Rachel was what? Rachel was barren. Rachel, the wife of Jacob, was what? Barren. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her voice, and God opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son. And she said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Interesting that as a result of Rachel's prayer, God gave her this fabulous son by the name of Joseph. And Joseph is that patriarch who saved the people during the 7-year famine in all the land of Canaan and Egypt. So notice, she asked for a son. She asked to conceive. She asked to have a child. And what did God give her? Not only did God give her what she wanted, then God gave to himself what he would later need, which was a man who can save the people from starvation. You see, God always does what? Exceedingly abundantly. That's the God that we serve. Now, turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 13, Luke 1:13. And the angel said, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Verse 15, "And this John shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall be one great." Verse 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God because of him." And he, this John, this baby, this child I'm going to give you, "and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So here is Zechariah. Zacharias and Elizabeth, a couple. They too are barren. They too seek God in prayer. And many years pass and no answer. But then God answers. And he does what? Exceeding abundantly. Why? Because they simply asked for a son, and God gave them a prophet, a kin of the same mold, of the same character, of the same spiritual makeup as the prophet Elijah. You see, saints, it is in prayer. And I can show you time and time again. You see, Rebecca prayed, or rather Isaac prayed in Genesis 25, and God gave them Jacob, the last of the great patriarchs. Rachel prayed, and God gave her Joseph, the patriarch who would deliver the people from starvation. Nations from starvation. As you see here, Elizabeth and Zacharias prayed, and the Lord gave them John the Baptist. And we can go on and on and on. You see, because you may ask God for one thing for you, and he blows our minds by not only giving you something for you, but also in the same package, in the same deal, in the same prayer, he raises up something for him. Because he's always doing exceeding abundantly. Above what we could. Listen. None of these people were asking for phenomenal kids. They were just asking for kids. They were just asking for a child. And God, to each one of these, God gave unto himself a history maker. Because he always does exceeding abundantly. And that is what has been our theme for the past couple of weeks. You see, saints, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to ask God for what we need. But in asking for God what we need, he always blows our mind, because he winds up doing something special. He takes our little prayers, our little short-sighted prayers, because we are asking for things, and even what we're asking for, we're shortchanging ourselves, because when God actually gives what we ask for, we actually see that he overgave. He overprovided. He oversupplied. Because that's what he does. That's what he does. But he does it by means of what? Prayer. And this is where you and I need to get back to prayer. Let us go back to the book of 1 Samuel. And I want you to consider chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, the first part of chapter 2, from chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 10, God gives Hannah the victory. Remember Hannah, the woman who prayed, the woman who was barren? You see, you actually see the motif. Do you see the recurring theme here? Rebecca was barren, she prayed, got Jacob. Rachel was barren, she prayed, got what? She got Joseph. Elizabeth and Zacharias prayed, and they got what? What did they get? John the Baptist. You see, we find this recurring theme in the Bible that there are people who are praying for things that they need for their personal life, and God not only gives them what they need, but God gives unto himself what he needs in that generation. And so here we see in verses 1 through 10, in 1 Samuel 2, we see God answering Hannah's prayer, and Hannah is grateful because God has given her the victory over her household rival, Peninnah. Remember Peninnah? Remember the secondary wife, Peninnah, who was having babies for Elkanah, and how she was provoking Hannah sore, making Hannah's life miserable, making Hannah's life and home a living hell? Remember that? Well, now Hannah sings a song to the Lord, a prayerful song, a soulful song unto the Lord here in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. And here she establishes, here she declares how God has given her the victory when she prayed. But the second part of chapter 2 now deals with the soap opera in God's house. See, there's a soap opera going on where? In God's house. So God has already dealt with Hannah's soap opera. God has already dealt with the mess in Hannah's house. Now, by means of this little child, Samuel, God is going to deal with the mess in his house. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and let us listen attentively to what Hannah says to the Lord as to how the Lord gave her the victory over her enemies. Let's listen to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10.
And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed."
Powerful, powerful song, because what it actually shows is Hannah speaks about how God takes somebody who's down and out today and how he can exalt them tomorrow. And then he talks about how those who are sitting high and mighty today can be brought low tomorrow. In other words, Hannah's song is a song of praise to God, who's the God who has the power to reverse fortunes. You can be down today, but if you pray, God will set you up on high. And those who are up today who never pray can be brought down low, because success and victory is dependent upon men and women seeking God in prayer. So you want your situation turned around? Listen to Hannah's prayer here in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. The key is, you see, you want your mess turned around? Go to him who can turn it around. Go to God in prayer. And this is what Hannah is celebrating here. This is what Hannah is praising God for, because God has taken the mighty and brought them low, and God has taken the weak and the feeble and has set them up on high. He who has stumbled at first, the Lord girds with power. And he who is strong at first, God brings down that they may eat dust. You see, my brothers and sisters, Hannah knew what many of us fail to understand, that our victory lies in the Lord and in us praying to the Lord, in us crying out to the Lord. Just like when Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah, for she was barren. The same way the Lord hearkened to the voice of Rachel when she prayed. The same way the Lord hearkened to the voice of Zechariah when he prayed for his wife Elizabeth. You see, it's us reaching out to him. It's just like the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And if you notice in the story, the woman stooped down low because socially she was down and out. She acknowledged that she was close to the grave. This is why she basically crawled to Jesus just to get a hold of the hem of his garment. But at the end of that episode, at the end of that narrative, at the end of the encounter, where was she? She was riding high. Why? Because she got a hold of God, God incarnate. And my brothers and sisters, that's what awaits us if we can just get on our knees, do like the woman with the issue of blood, acknowledge that we're done for. If we don't get a hold of God, you got to do like Jacob. You got to wrestle with the angel all night to have your name and destiny changed. But we don't want to wrestle anymore. We don't want to pray anymore. We don't want to seek God anymore. We don't want to do it the Bible way of doing it. We just don't. We don't want to do it God's way anymore. We want to achieve victory by going to conferences and laughing and having a great time. We don't want to seek God anymore. We don't want to humble ourselves anymore. And as a result, 1 Samuel 2, in 1 Samuel 2, verse 11 through verse 36, you're going to find how God is going to fix his house now. Let's read 1 Samuel 2, 11 through 36, because I want you to see how God is going to fix his house. And he's going to do it with the same person that he fixed Hannah's house with. He's going to do it with little Samuel. Here it is. Here, you see, with the same gift God gave to Hannah to fix her house, with that same gift, he's going to fix his house. Because he is always blowing our mind. Here it is.
And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord.
Now, notice it says, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house. Samuel's father went back home with his wife, Hannah. And they left the little toddler behind. They left little Samuel behind. They left the little kid behind. What was he, 3 years old, 4 years old, Samuel was? The most he was 4 years old. And the Bible says that they left the child, and the child at 4 years old was already being taught how to minister unto the Lord as Eli supervised them. Now let's continue to read. And it says, now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial, or the sons of the devil. And they knew not the Lord. Now, they were priests. They had the fancy garments. They had what we call the shirts with the collars. They had all of the priestly garments and paraphernalia. They had the title, but they served the devil. You see, instead of being sons of God, they were sons of the worthless one, or the sons of Belial. And as such, these sons of the worthless ones have soiled God's house, have polluted God's house with their thieving practices and their immoral shenanigans. Let's continue reading. Let's go to verse number 13 now.
The priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod.
So there you have it. You have the two grown sons of Eli skimming off the offering, stealing, if you will, taking larger portions of the offering than they should have. They, by the Mosaic law, were given a certain portion, but they were greedy, and they were forceful. They demanded more. This turned people off. They were extortioners. By brute force, they were taking more of the sacrifice than they should have, and this was turning people off. Their extortion practices were turning people off. Yet, while these two adult scoundrels were turning people off, you have little Samuel with his little outfit, with his little linen ephod. There he is doing what? Ministering before the Lord. So he's getting his training. Little Samuel is, while Eli's sons are stealing, Samuel is getting his training. Let's continue reading.
Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived, and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Now, you see, God now is starting to bless Hannah's home, Elkanah's home. She's having more children for having given Samuel to the Lord. The Lord gave her five more kids. And yet, while God is blessing her house, Eli's sons are cursing their father's house. Why? Because not only are they stealing the offerings, but now they're betting women. They're having intercourse with women on the very holy grounds where the tabernacle was. You see why the Bible calls them sons of Belial, sons of the devil, who knew not the Lord? Not only were they known for their thievery, not only were they known for dipping into the plate, offering plate, if you will, but now they were known as immoral priest, having defiled the holy order of women. If you read the book of Exodus chapter 38, you will see that there is a holy order of women that were established since the days of Moses. And these women served in the tabernacle, and nobody dared touch them until now. And they were touching them. Listen, it's not like they were running off somewhere to go meet in some hotel. No. That would have been bad enough. But they're doing it on the grounds of the tabernacle, God's holy sanctuary. They just weren't sons of Belial. They were super sons of Belial. But you see, God can't make the change yet. Why? Because Samuel's still tender. Samuel is still young. But God has already provided him with what? With what? With what? With change. God has already provided himself with a substitute. Why? Because Eli's sons and Eli will be out, and Samuel will take their place. See, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. God replaces bad leadership. And how does God replace bad leadership? My brothers and sisters, God replaces bad leadership when we go to pray. Because it is in prayer that God provides leadership. If you recall, it was Jesus who said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let's open up a seminary." Did Jesus say that? Let's open up a Bible college. No. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would do what? Send forth laborers. My brothers and sisters, it's about prayer. When we pray, God gives us leadership for the church. Now, what does this leadership do? It stops the drama in God's house. God's house today, my brothers and sisters, has been turned into a soap opera. You know, in all those soap operas, in all those daytime soap operas, what do you have? Adultery, fornication, thievery, lying, hypocrisy. Well, that's what you had. That's what you had in the tabernacle. That's what you had, a soap opera going on in the tabernacle during the tenure of Eli as high priest. His two sons were dipping into the offering plate, if you will, and they were betting the women. So now God is about to bring about change, but that change came as a result of prayer. Let's continue to read.
And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men."
Now there you have it. They wouldn't listen to their fathers. Why? Because God had already determined he was going to kill them. So God said, no repentance for these two guys. I'm not going to let them repent. I'm going to permit them to go on their wicked way because I'm going to clean house, in essence, with God. And then it says, now Samuel is growing in favor with the Lord. And with, you see, Samuel's growing now. Now Samuel's growing. And people now see Samuel as an alternative to Eli. Now, he's too young yet. He's too young. Can't put him in yet. But people can already see a glimmer of hope in that Samuel is growing into a fine young man, and he's gotten favor both with the Lord and with the public. Now God sends a prophet to rebuke Eli. Here it is. Let's listen to the prophetic word that Eli got from this prophet sent by God.
And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm, and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house for ever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes, and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest, that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed for ever. And it shall come to pass, that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread.
You see, what God is saying through the man of God is that all of these years, Eli and his two sons have been living high on the hog. They have set up God's house like a Ponzi scheme. They have set up God's house like a pyramid scam where only his family gets the money and only his family get to live large. God says, I'm going to clean house. He says, I'm going to reverse fortunes. I'm going to do to your house what I did to Peninnah. Peninnah was bragging. Peninnah was making Hannah's life miserable. And in the end, I gave Hannah the victory over Peninnah. Now I'm going to give good the victory over evil. I'm going to clean house. I'm going to take you out, Eli. I'm going to take out your two sons. In fact, in the future, your descendants are going to have to beg for a priestly job because they're going to be starving. They're going to be asking for bread because they're going to be unemployed. That's what happens when you steal in God's house. Your descendants will become eternally unemployed. I'm going to turn these criminals and these thieves, I'm going to turn them into beggars for having soiled my house with immorality and for having done the wickedness they have done by taking out of the offering. Well, saints, we're going to leave it there. We're going to come back next week, and we're going to look at chapter 3. God bless you. We'll be right back.